Again, I will tell you one more time, Rabbi Cohn. Listen carefully. This is the mistake you've made since Monday morning. This has been going on, the same question over and over again. Additional tumah doesn't mean that it happened. Additional tumah means that the guy can do more tumah if something happened. But it didn't happen. Reuven touches a mace. At that moment, if he touches Shimon, Shimon becomes tummy for 7 days. If he doesn't touch the mace and he touches Shimon, Shimon is only tummy for 1 day. So if Reuven is touching a mace, at that point he has the potential to make Shimon tummy for 7 days. He's not touching Shimon, but he has the potential to make Shimon tummy for 7 days.
The other thing we have to add also is it didn't matter if the guy originally was tummy.
Again, we're not, again, let's start again. No, I don't need to add that. It has nothing to do with it. Again.
I want to hear what he's saying. He was tummy.
I don't care what he said. I'm telling you what the Gemara said.
No, I'm just saying, he became tummy by touching the mace, right? That's how he became tummy.
Or he was in the aisle of the mace. Right. That's how he became tummy.
The main thing is, since if you would touch another, touch a human being, a live human being, that person would be dying.
Right.
If he would not be touching the mace, when he touches a human being, it only be one.
Exactly. So if he's touching one mace and touches a second mace, nothing's changed. He could have been a tummy person for 7 days when he touches the first mace, and touching a second mace has not added any potential for tumah. Whereas if he's not touching a mace and then touches a second another mace,
another.
He had touched one mace, and now he has separated from that mace. So at that moment, he can't make a person tummy for 7 days because he's not touching a mace. And now he touches a second mace, he's adding tumah, because he's added the potential to touch a live human being and make him tummy for 7 days.
Try to hold on to it.
This is the same point that's been bothering you since Monday morning. I'm saying over and over again the same thing. Okay, we are on Mem Gimel Amud Aleph, and we are up to Tana Rabbanan. Two dots. In about halfway, little less than halfway through the page. Tana Rabbanan. Because the Marba Ravashi's answer, the Marba Ravashi has told us that the guy walks into a room and the guy is a crisis, and he's warned, do not go in. Pliny is dying. He's a crisis. So Marba Ravashi, at that moment, he violated two laws at the same moment. Because entering into that room, he's not tummy, but he puts his finger in. The guy's not dead yet. But when he enters, at that moment he did an action that exposed him to the probability of death of the person in the room. So at the point that the person dies, that action of entering the room becomes a maisa lav, two lav, because that's the point that he exposed himself to both lo yavai and lo yitame.
Even if it didn't happen.
No, if the guy does not die, he does not violate the lavan. That's why the Rush brings down. The Samri Shaitim called that Hasra Suffolk, because they're warning him if he dies, he might not die. And therefore, that's called a Suffolk. If may this happen, you'll be over an Isser. And there's a Machlaikas Rajas. If a person is warned, if this is true, you'll be over an Isser, and if not, not. Many Amoraim say, Hasra Suffolk Leishma Hasra. It doesn't count. So therefore the Rush says, in order to say that the person violated the two lavans, you have to assume that Hasra Suffolk is a good enough Hasra, because they're warning him on a Tzad Suffolk. The Rush himself says that since it's a majority of people of Geisus die, therefore warning him now is not saying if. Even though it is an if, but the if is almost a definite. So therefore, even though it's not Matame now, but it's like saying the tumor will, let's say, for argument's sake, the tumor would, a guy would die, and he wouldn't be Matame for 5 minutes. For first 5 minutes of his death, it's not true. But let's argue, for argument's sake, say that a person dies, and for the first 5 minutes, no tumor happens. And a guy would walk in during those 5 minutes. He's not becoming Tame now. But if he's warned, that's not Asra Suffolk. He will definitely give off tumah in 5 minutes. So they tell the guy, listen, you walk in, you're going to go in, be over two lavin in 3 minutes from now. Not maybe you'll be over two lavin for 3 minutes from now. You'll be over 3 minutes from now. So the Rush says, a geisus is like 5 minutes. Because a geisus is probably going to die. So it's like telling him, you're going to be over these two lavin in 5 minutes. But he's not over the lav until the 5 minutes. But it's a definite that he'll be daven after 5 minutes. Now, except by a geisus, you can't say the word 5 minutes. And by my theoretical case, you couldn't put a time on it. That's what the Rosh is Mechadish. That telling a guy that this guy is a geisus, which is like telling him he'll be Matami in 5 minutes. Because he's probably going to die.
Can I ask a question?
And Dr. Schwab has had his hand up for the last number of minutes, yes.
I'm trying to think of another instance where you have the similar term. I understand you're being very clear about what you're saying, but I'm having a hard time coming up with another thing. I'm holding a rock outside a big rock outside a third floor window, and you say to me, if you drop that, it may kill someone. That Hasra in case I drop it, and I do kill someone.
See, if you drop it, you will kill someone. That's how Shah
is about that. Not if there's somebody there.
Again, if there's somebody there, you warn the guy, if you drop it, you'll kill. That's how Shah is about that. You're telling him, if you drop it, you will definitely kill.
No, I'm trying to come up with an analogous situation.
So I don't think that way, and I didn't think of an analogous situation. It's not the game now, because I'm not... Whether there is or isn't, this is what you're trying to be here.
Yeah, because the more saying is not an isolated incident. It's a qual of some sort, and I'm uncertain what else.
That doesn't mean I have to think of an analogous case.
It means I do, but...
Okay, I'll leave it up to you, yes.
Why is the fact that I can walk out before this person dies?
Because every Hasra says, if you do this, he cannot do it.
I understand.
So what they're saying is in 5 minutes, this person will be Matameh. That means walking in, it's putting yourself in the situation of time. You can do another action to undo, doesn't make it Asra suffering. The action he's doing will result in a tumma unless changed. Unless changed doesn't make it Asra suffering.
But going in didn't make him tumma, so he's only there when the person dies.
What?
It's only because he stayed there when the person dies. That's also good to the lo yavo.
Because it came from an action. This is the case of Mishnah Skasha, to lav shein b'maisa. When he's in there, he's not doing anything. Right, that's the Kesef Mishnah Skasha. When he walked in, he didn't do anything. But 5 minutes later, right, let's take my theoretical case of 5 minutes instead of Geisus. 5 minutes later, he is doing something. He's being Tamei, but he didn't do an action. Zok the Kesef Mishnah, that anything that results from an action is considered a lav shesh b'maisa. He compares it to the case of the guy wearing shatnas that came through a maisa levisha. That we say that's called a lav shesh b'maisa, even though now he's not doing an action, it's on him. Now, Harvey was machalik yesterday, that there, when he put it on, it was an issur, here it's not. That's a tumul d'achreinim, whether that, but that's the Kesef Mishnah's kashan answer here. That it's called a lav shesh b'maisa because his situation came about through an action that he did. And he was warned, don't do that action because it will result in 5 minutes. Now, he could change it, he could walk out, but I don't think that makes us draw something.
Incidentally, the situation you're describing is perfectly accurate in that there is a state, it's not a halachic state, but it's something which is medically recognizable of someone who is actively dying. They are alive, but they are going to die very soon.
Okay, yes.
So, if someone walks into it, someone says, don't go into that field because it might be a nasty.
Might be a suffix.
Okay.
Here it is, but the Rosh is saying this is not a might be.
In that case, he walks in, and then someone drops dead right in front of him. He's over on one Isser.
Not over anybody. Yeah.
Right. But so in this case, he's walking into a room. When he walked in, the guy wasn't dead.
Again, but he's dying in 5 minutes. It's substitute.
But you're putting the act, even though it didn't happen simultaneously, but again.
If the he's not over the lav until the guy dies.
But then at that moment he's over on two, why not one?
Because at that moment he walked
you're
in.
You're dragging the
well, again, because it goes back to the fact that the action that he did of walking in exposed him to a definite lav. Because we're assuming that it's like a 5 minute, that the mason's going to die in 5 minutes. What you're trying to say is, separate the walking in from the when he became tummy. Well, you are trying me, I'm sorry. What you are saying, you're not trying to say, I agree, you are saying. What you are saying is that let's separate the act of walking in from the act of becoming, the reality of becoming tummy. And what the, that's the Kesef of Mishnah's kasha. And the Kesef of Mishnah's answer is that since the exposure to the tumor came about through an action, that action carries on. It's as if he's, I'm going to use a word that, as if he's constantly walking in. When a person walks in, it's as if he's constantly walking in.
As if you walked in now.
Right, exactly.
It goes into, do we ever, is this apply any more than modern day medicine?
I have no idea. You'll have to talk to a doctor about that. I'm not getting involved in that. I don't like, again, I'm looking tomorrow.
No, what I'm just asking, my question is, they always say this thing, when my father was real sick, he said, he always, in other cases, it's pulled the plug. I mean, does that apply anymore?
Absolutely. Pulling the plug is called rechicha. That's called killing somebody. I'm not here to paskin, but pulling a plug is called rechicha. It's a one-word word in the Torah. It says, lai shirtach, don't pull the plug. There is, according to Paiskim, contemporary Paiskim, there's no clear definition of geisus today.
Oh, that's what I wanted to know.
There's no clear definition of when a person becomes a geisus. In the time before modern medicine, they had a clearer idea when a person became a geisus. Today, I'm told by Paiskim again, I wouldn't be willing to ask any of these shilas, but I'm told by Paiskim that there is no clear definition of geisus. The difference is, a geisus, as Dr. Schwab mentioned yesterday, you're not allowed to do anything, even to help him, as a geisus, because touching a geisus might hasten his death. And we're not allowed to do that. A person's not a geisus, he's supposed to try to help him, even though it might kill him, but it's not likely to kill him. A geisus, Chazal say, touching him might kill him. Don't touch. Leave him alone. That is not, does not have a clear definition today. We don't, I should say that, I don't know halacha well, I don't think we ever tell people, don't touch him anymore. Unless, as Dr. Schwab says, there's a state of actively dying, that might be considered a halacha geisus. Again, not familiar with halacha lemaisa. This is not a halacha lemaisa here, so therefore I don't even worry about it. Tana Rabbana.
Well, the plug
might
be a grumma. Well, the plug might be a grumma.
I don't know. It's a direct action. Depends if it kills him right away or kills him much later.
Not really, because you're stopping
it
from keeping alive. It's not that
something. No. Again, I don't want to get involved in that halacha now. It's really not our subject today. We're not pulling anybody's plug. Tana Rabbana. Dr. Gemara Lehichaloi says in the Pasik, Lehitame Baal Ba'amov Lehichaloi. When is he over that at Shashi Yamas? That means when the guy dies, that's when there's an ister of being metame. That's when there's an ister of being metame. Zucht the rush, rehechalai. Find the rush, we're going back and forth. Rehechalai. Zucht the rush, tshashiyamus, lafuke miguyan, if he's cut up, meaning the guy has been wounded beyond repair, the geisus, or he's in death throes, the rehechalai mas ma'achas in asacholo. Hechaloi means after the body is deceased. Till he's deceased, there's no iser of being metame. That's what the first Tana says. Rabbi Eimer, Rabbi says, what's the Aleph add? Le'yitame behem b'maitzam. The Pasuk says he shouldn't be metame when they die. It's another Pasuk, right? One Pasuk is by Kayan, one Pasuk is by Nazir, but we compare the two. There's a favorite shabbat between the two. The time of the Maisam, which means Achiyamus. That is not Matame. Rabbi.
Rabbi.
Yes.
With either explanation, with either source, what's the Hava meaning here? Why would we think someone with...
Let's give the Gemara a chance. You're 100% right, but the Gemara will address this.
What are they arguing?
Again, Frank the Gemara, my Minayu. What are they arguing about? That's why we learn Gemara, because the Gemara usually covers 90% of our questions. And that's not accurate. It might be 89%. I don't know. Most of the questions that we have are covered in the Gemara. Some are not. My Benayu, what is the difference? Amar Rabbi Yechon and Mashmoz Darshan Ike Benayu. There's no difference. It's just which Pasik stresses the fact the tumah doesn't start to the moment of death. It does not start in death throes. It does not start when a person is irreparably wounded, if that's such a word. It starts at the moment that the neshama leaves the body. That's when it starts. That's what the pasuk tells us. Which pasuk? They're both saying the same thing. One likes to learn it from one, and one likes to learn it from the other. According to Rabbi Yochanan, no difference between the two. There's no argument. And then what they're telling me is, death doesn't start when you're sure he's going to die. I'm sorry. Tumah doesn't start when you're sure he's going to die. Tumah starts at the moment of death. It's not during the process. It's at the end. Rish Lakish Amar Gaitis Ikebenayim. Rish Lakish says, the argument is here, can a person walk into a gaitis? Is a Kayan or Nazir allowed to walk in to a room where there's a gaitis? Meaning, Laman Damar Melech Chaloi Afilu Gaitis. The one that says Lechaloi says that that includes Geisus, because a Geisus is definitely going to die. She's under the definition of the word Cholol. Cholol doesn't mean dead. Cholol means in the process of dying. In the last process of dying starts when the person is born. The minute a person's born, he's in the process of dying. Right? But that's not what it means here. It means when he's in the active state of dying, which is a Geisus. When he's in the active state of dying, at that moment, Tumah starts. At that moment, he gets shame cholol. At that moment, he's not metame, but you're not allowed to walk in. Am I saying Cain? What's the name again? And the man Amar, it says, "B'maisam, atshiyam in geisus life." So, going to Rish Lakish, there's an argument here that the Torah ban a kain and a nazir from walking into a room where there's a geisus. Is he violating a law by walking into the room? Now, the Gemara is going to explain this, so we're not at a final point yet. But that's what it sounds like at this point. Let's do the rush. Look the rush. Mashmoz darshim ikim binayu. Tavayu savri lafuikim iguyu de megaisis. They both agree that somebody cut up or a geisis is not metame. Lechela masma akashanasako. I'm sorry. My darsh la mahaikra. My darsh la mahaikra. One learns it from pasuk A, and one learns it from pasuk B. Tumah starts at death, not pre-death. Man damar melechala fil geisus. The shaper mikra cholol. At that moment, he's already called a cholol. Kim derev geisus in lemisa. So the way that Rush explained it, that the term cholol is not dead. Cholol is in the when he's dying, definitely dying, or a majority of the time dying. Whereas maisam is actual death. So there's a different translation in Webster's between the word lehechalai and the word mabaisa. That's what Rish Lakish says.
What's the English
word?
Death
throes. Cholol? That's Rabbi Yechon's translation, Rish Lakish's translation. Rabbi Yechon's dictionary said cholol means dead, and Rish Lakish's dictionary said cholol means in the process of dying. There's an argument in the Webster's. When Webster says the word lechalo, says A, Rabbi Yochanan, B, Rish Lakish. They're arguing what the word means. Zag the Gemara Vayit. Frek the Gemara Laman Dama Mechalo Yaseh B'maisa. According to the Laman Dama, that says it starts earlier. It says B'maisa. What does he do with the word B'maisa that seems to say when they actually died? Zag the Gemara Mibayle the Rebbe. He learned B'maisa to teach me a different halacha. Tanya Rebbe Eimer, but Maisa made a matame. I'm matame b'negiyasim b'zivasam. The restriction of a nazir is only death, not mitzayra and not zav. He's allowed, meaning theoretically, he's allowed to become a zav. He's allowed to become a mitzayra. I mean, he doesn't like to be, or he can be matame to his father, who's a zav. He can touch his father as a zav. He can touch his father with a mitzayra. He's making himself tamei. There's no restriction in making himself tamei. Only from death. Only from a dead body. Not from another type of tumah.
But is there any actual practical zachin if he becomes from zav?
Yeah, if he touches a zav, he's tamei for one day. He's a ritual tumah.
the main thing is, it doesn't knock off any days, or doesn't, that's the main thing we're trying
again.
To,
we're trying to figure out, is a Nazir allowed to touch his father with a Zav? Is a Nazir allowed to touch his father with a Mitzrayim? I'm not asking what the consequences are. I want to know if a Nazir is allowed to touch his living father with a Zav. He will make himself Tumbe. Is he allowed to make himself Tumbe?
What's the answer?
Yes. Because the Torah said, the Mitzav. We're only worried about death. Tumma from death, not any other form of tumma.
Is that
being
toast with
tumma? That's why. Yes, it is. He's becoming tumme.
But he's already tumme.
No, he's not.
Is that tumme yet?
He's a nazir.
Oh,
so that's what the ma'isim teaches me. Now, leichaloi, according to Rish Lakish, teaches me even before death, he's not allowed to. The question is, what does Rish Lakish do with the word b'maisam? He says, b'maisam just tells me only that kind of tumma, not any other form of tumma. Rashi. Avamatanu b'zivu b'negod, memhoya abim zava mitzayra. Frag di gemara, ulaman dame b'maisam ha'siv le'echaloi. What is the mandiyama that says b'maisam? What did you do with le'echaloi, according to Rish Lakish? Doesn't le'echaloi teach me even graces? I'm sorry, you're right. Frak the Gemara, Laman Damer B'maisam, Hamibayi Le'lai Svara. The one that said B'maisam is to tell me only after death. What does he do? How does he know that he can become Tami Ben Goyim Ben Zivas? Doesn't he need that plastic for that? Meaning, the Man Yomar, there was two Tanoim. One said Le'chaloi, and one said B'maisam. Going to Rish Lakish, one said even Geisus, and one said not Geisus. So we asked, according to the one that says Geisus, doesn't it take death? So we said, no, that pasuk of death is to exclude Nega Mitzayra. Mitzayra is up. So what is the other mandiyama? Where did he learn to exclude it from? He's learning B'maisa means actual death. So to Gemara, in Kelei Mekom B'mais, my B'mais, some of Benatart, could have said B'mais. It would have told us only death, not any other tumma. B'mais, some tells me only after actual death. So, this mandiyama splits the word b'maisam to teach us two drashas. One is to teach us only death tumma is what concerns us, not tumas negaim and ziva. And the other part of the pasuk is telling me only after death, not during the process. I know, I have the same problem. Rashi. You're asking Rabbim, it says, Rabbim, you might have heard, it says, B'maisam, it has to say B'maisam, it can't say B'maisam, that's singular and that's plural.
No, it said,
I don't know. Good question. That I didn't think of. The other one I was bothered by, how could it say B'mais? When it says, Rabbim, you might have heard, it says, Yitame Lohem. B'mais? Mavis, maybe. Maybe B'mavis. Maybe that was that fast. Is that the way Art Cole words it? He should. Write him a letter. Thank you. That's the real shot to Gemara. Something to my writer. How does he ignore the parting of Le'chaloi, which according to Rish Lakish seems to say Geisus? The Gemara Le'chaloi Le'achid Asa. The Misha Aina Mechul. It's only someone who's not Tameh yet. Avo, I'm sorry. Leichala yatzazeh shemachulu v'aymed. Right, it excludes the person that's tamei already. That if he's tamei already, there's no issue for him to become tamei. Right, with no additional tumah now. Like if he's touching a mace, he can touch a second mace. Frank the Gemara, Ulamanda Amame Lechaloi, that says it teaches us Geisus, Homiboyle, the high Svara, doesn't he need it to tell us that he can touch a second mace? In Kelei Mekola Hachel, my Lechaloi, Summit Minotart. He darshens the extra rub, and therefore he learns two things up. Rise up the rush, Kelei Mekola Hachel, the Shemin and Geisus, the Kashim Kolo. And by Lechaloi, it teaches me only if he's not Tamei yet, but if he's Tamei already, there's no Isra unless there's an additional Tumah. Zakti Gemara writes. So we have a Machloikas according to Rish Lakish. Is there an Isra of Geisus or not on a Kayan? According to Rish Lakish, a Kayan and a Nazir are not allowed to walk into a room which is Geisus. they are violating an iser when they walk in. And according to Rabbi Yochanan, there's no such thing. Everybody agrees the iser does not kick in until the person actually dies, not while he's a geizus. I was very careful. I'm being very accurate. I kept the word iser because of the next Gemara. The Braisa says, I think it's a Braisa. It might be a Mishnah. Yeah, it's a Mishnah in Alas. Adam Eina Matame or Chetetze Napsai. Only when he dies. Avila Meguya, even if he's cut up. He probably, what did he say Meguya is?
Fatally wounded.
Avila Geisus, right? Madame Meachale, Tani Leida Matame. What does Rishlakish do? This is a Mishnah. And to say, I mean, you could say another kind of argues with the Mishnah, but it's unlikely that you have a Stam Mishnah that says death starts at Tumah. And according to Rishlakish, it's about the Amid that says it starts, I mean, like Tumah starts at death. And another according to Madame, it says it starts at Geisus. And for the Gemara, the Inyan Tumuya Adenavkanavshe, the Inyan Ischule, Pajaschul. The difference is, the Slunkish never said that the person becomes tummy when he walks into a geisus. He doesn't. But he violated a lav. He walked in to a room of a geisus. It's a violation of a lav. He's not tummy yet. But he's not allowed to walk in. That's why I use the word Isser, not Tumma. So Ischlakish agrees that all Tanoim agree. Tumah doesn't happen till the actual Yitzias Neshama. Till the Neshama departs. However, is there an Isser to walk into a geisus?
And if he stays there?
He becomes Tameh when the guy dies.
And he has two of them, two of them?
Yeah, he has the Isser becoming Tameh. Are you Tameh?
So according to Rishlakish, the
issue
starts when he walked in.
Well, there's a machlokes tanoim according to Rishlakish. Rishlakish learned there's a machlokes tanoim whether there's an issue to walk into a geisus. But everybody agrees he's not tamei at that moment. He can walk out and he's not tamei. Zok derash. Basil meguyed mechutach leivari, cut into limbs, loshen gudri alone who chopped down a tree. Even though B'maisam tells me no tumma until he actually dies. He didn't violate a law. He violated a law by walking in. Since it says Leichaloi is a new law. The Shira Nami Lav Aleichaloi. Like the Torah wrote two laven. He shouldn't become tamei, and he shouldn't be leichaloi. That means the idol geis is in the roi lechayas. According to Rishlakish, one of the tanoim has just added a lav to the Torah. There's a lav of becoming tamei, and then there's a lav of walking into a geisus. According to the other Tana, that lav doesn't exist, and according to Rabbi Yochanan, it never exists, not in any Tana. Zok derash umahaka shaminan. The kayan ainam muzra al geisus. A kayan is not warned to walk into a geisus. Why? The kaimel and Rabbi Yochanan only got a rich lakish. We paskin like Rabbi Yochanan, and Rabbi Yochanan said no tana said that he can't walk into a geisus. Now again, if the geisus dies while he's there, he violates lavin. But while walking into a geisus, the act of walking in is not a lav. He can turn around and walk out, and he hasn't violated a thing.
I mean, Zazer
and Kayin are the same. We learn one from the other.
Of course, when it says it starts when he walks in, it's still not
allowed when
he walks out.
It is allowed. Yeah. The Amr Mashmah starts in the Kibbutz Ayyub. That's because it's a Machloikas Rabbi Yechon and Rishlakish. And the rule in the Machloikas and the Rabbi Yechon and Rishlakish, the rule is that we always paskin like Rabbi Yochanan. The Gemara says except in three cases. The Rishayim ask him different cases where we also paskin like Rishlakish. But the rule remains a rule. You know, every rule has exceptions. The rule is that whenever Rabbi Yochanan paskin like Rishlakish, we paskin like Rabbi Yochanan. And Rabbi Yochanan said that nobody holds their geisus as us. Miu ba'alachas gedailas geiris abaye b'makam Rabbi Yochanan. Lamed. I wonder if he changes it to Rabba. I think it's supposed to be Rabba anyway. Lamed. Comedy says, Rabba. And Rabba, the Makim Rish Lakish. The Ba'alachas Gedailah says this is the Makloikas Abai and Rabba. And the rule of Abai and Rabba is we always pass like Rabba. So then we pass him like, well, the Gemara attributes to Rish Lakish, the Halakas Gedalas attributes to Rava. The Tanakama holds there is an Isser Geisus, and we always pass like the Tanakama versus Rebbe. Nimtz Kayim Muzer Ala Geisus. So Dr. Rush, it ends up being a Pekoikus Rishayim. Can a Kayim walk into a Geisus or not? Is he ever allowed by walking into a Geisus? Our Geisus, Rebbe Echon Rishlaki says no. That Geisus says yes. Now the Rush brings two cheetahs and Alaka. How do we pass Alaka Maisa? I really don't know. I know Ramesh has a tshuva about Kohen going to visit people in the hospital. That's a different reason. Kohanim, I said a Kohen, right? There's no Nazir B'Zmanazah. There should be no Nazir B'Zmanazah because he's going to be stuck with his ears the rest of his life. We don't like that. But Kohen walking into the hospital to visit patients is a Shiloh Ramesh and deals with the tshuva.
Let me see real quick.
I believe he says it should only be done with necessity, not when it's not necessary. Because he holds that it, not because the guy might die, most Chayim don't die, but because there are deaf people, dead Jews in the hospital, and the doors are not necessarily closed between where the Kohanim are and where the person is standing. But again, this is not a halakha here. Anybody wants to know can investigate the halakha themselves. I really don't want to get into it. Yes?
Probably Yashin modifies that to mainly in Eretz Israel. That in Eretz Israel, there is a very high likelihood.
Yeah, that there's deaf patients.
Many of the hospitals, especially the religious hospitals, will have a morgue which has an exit to it. So the hospital per se is
there.
Okay. The last
final
question of Cohen.
According to the Allah, it's the Nihilist.
Only a coin, or just
an
also over here?
Not sure. Well, also, but the Nazir's not a game as Manazah.
I'm not talking about
it. Well, he's passing as Manazah. He was bringing these two sheets, the Gabi Halacha Lamaisa. Halacha Lamaisa in the time of the rush did not include Nazir. Okay, the test ends over here. We're going to go right there, but the test is up to here, which means next week we'll start from here, yes? This is a halacha that's again lemaisa again. Again, we don't pass halacha lemaisa, but this becomes a very emotional issue. Nikta raisha shel aviv eina matam aloy. And really, I will translate it not literally, even though I'm going to go back and translate it literally. If any part of the deceased is missing, the Kohen is not allowed to be matamah to his relative. If the part is missing posthumously, meaning a Kohen who had a, amputation, Kohen who had an amputation, his son can be matamah to him, because he's in the exact state of how he died. However, if after his death, a piece of his body fell off, at that moment, he knows the son can no longer be matama to him. That's the halacha. It's halacha lemaisa. And it's negeya. A car crash. That the piece of the kayah might have been taken off after death. Right? The guy got killed, Rachmana Litzan, a kayah got killed in a car crash. And parts of the body might be missing that happened during the crash. The kayah's relatives cannot be matama to him because he's not shalim. I'm a krala aviv. What? Well, we assume, again, I'm not here to pass on that child. I honestly don't know, but I know this is negay, and it becomes very emotional when you tell Kohanim's relatives that they can't be matama to their relatives. It becomes a very emotional issue. Bisman shu shalim, but like bisman shu chaser. This is only can be matama to him when the body is complete and not when the body is missing. Zuktarach, Nikta Raisha Shalaviv, Shakayan Hedget. We're talking about a regular Kayan, because the Kayan Gadol can't be Matame to any relative. And the Nazir can't be Matame to any relative. So we're talking to the Kayan that couldn't be Matame to a relative. And we're saying only if no part is bad, missing. Yes?
Did you specify that it becomes missing after death?
I just said that.
Okay, that's what I thought. I was looking at something else.
I just said that, yes. That's what this is a big tasha in the Achrayim. They want to know what the difference is we're dodging from the word aviv, that he has to be shalem. Why are we saying he only has to be shalem as he was at death? Why don't we say he has to be shalem? Manushech, if he had an amputation, he's not shalem. Why, if he had an amputation while he was alive and died with that limb missing, is he called shalem? And if a little piece fell off him afterwards, he's not called shalem. But that's halacha. Whether we understand why it is or don't understand why it is, that's what the Torah said. That's halacha l'maisa. If they ask, Manashech, if you need shalem, he's not shalem. Terence, did you tell me he's shalem? But he's not. If he misses a little piece afterwards, he's not shalem. It means we're saying for others at the moment of death, that's how he has to be at the time of tumah. That's how we're translating the pasuk. They want to know exactly how you see that, but that's not negayas. Negayas is halacha l'maisa. The kind is missing any piece, even though the Gemara says Roshai, it's true about any piece after death, one is not allowed, his relatives are not allowed to be Matavateh. Again, it's only the Geya Kayim is Manazah, we have no Nazir. Nazir wouldn't be even Matavateh relative anyway.
I would think that he would be
Matavateh. Yeah, why not? If person, Kayim is Matavateh with seven relatives. This is a relative of
it. It had to tell me that if his head was missing, I wouldn't be Matavateh to the Guf.
Mm-hmm. Again, does the Torah allow a kohen to be mitamei his relative?
No.
Yes, it does.
It's his relative, yes.
So this is a relative.
Yeah, or part of one, yeah. So this one...
He's not allowed to be mitamei.
Because?
He's missing because the Torah said la'aviv, which we dive to means when the father is complete as he was at the time of death.
Even though the cause of death might have been a beheading.
Doesn't make a difference. He's not the same as he was at the moment of death. He's missing his head.
I'm sorry. I'm thinking about the nazir.
Again, nazir can't be mitamei.
I'm not asking now, but I couldn't pay attention. So is that the law for my sister?
Hey? Yes. Oh. Yes. That's why I just said that it's an emotional issue. Because one has to tell Kayan's relatives, you cannot be mitamei. You cannot go to the funeral. You have to stand outside and you can't go to the Beis HaKvaris.
Even though the head... still there. Cut off, but
it doesn't even have to be a head.
No, but if he loses an arm...
Same thing.
Even though both pieces are there. Both
exactly. Parts. Exactly.
Two things.
Yes.
Number one, beheading probably not the greatest example. The person still alive for a moment.
Okay, that's the way I go. I'm not going there again.
It's not like a chicken. The halakhic definition of death is maintenance of pulse pressure. And that
again,
goes on.
The halakhic definition of death, according to the Gemara Chulin, does not necessarily mean the loss of... Next.
The real question is, does this concept of shlemus of the body apply anywhere else?
Again, it's the same question you asked me before. I don't think in those terms. When I learn this halacha, I don't say to myself, it's an interesting approach, I just don't do it. Where else does the Torah say such a thing? Honestly, I don't think about that. I think about what the Gemara I'm learning. Whether it does or doesn't apply anywhere else has no significance.
With great love and affection, I don't understand how you can understand anything without doing it.
Okay, well, I guess you can classify me as not understanding anything, which is fine.
What I was going to say, if someone is missing a foot because of diabetic foot amputation, there's no limitation them able to establish an X-ray and expanding, but they wouldn't make it.
Why should he have any limitation? He's a regular human being.
That's exactly my point.
Okay, but this is a special halacha by Tumah of God.
This is why after death, this change of state in referral to missing body part kicks in after death.
But,
because the person who has had the amputation and is alive is a human being.
Again. Okay, maybe. I can sit and argue this, but it makes no difference.
Is it so emotional?
Why is it emotional?
No, they thought because they've been able to mitamei for their... They thought they would be mitamei.
It's a sentence. I mean, again, I'm not a kayan, I don't...
Rabbi Marco Reffin?
Yeah, Dr. Bray.
So, Laura Lane, if they have to perform some kind of autopsy for whatever medical legal reason, so that would be a problem for a kohen, wouldn't that be?
Absolutely.
Because they probably take a...
Yes.
Well, they cut out...
Well, then they cut him open and sew him up again.
It depends what they do. It depends what they did at the autopsy.
As Dr. Harris is saying, the, if organ donation is one thing. However, the after an autopsy, the parts are placed back. Now,
placed back doesn't mean they're attached.
They are not attached.
So they're not attached. It's missing.
Wow. And there have been microscope slides prepared and various things like that. Also, there's blood taken out of the body.
I don't know if blood makes a difference. I don't think blood.
Does the Chevra Kedisha like make sure all the fingernails are there? I don't understand.
I don't think fingernails are considered. I don't know, but they cut the fingernails off.
Oh, don't say
the fingernails.
Clean them.
It depends. In certain places they cut them off. In certain places they clean them. Yes.
Fingernails
is not considered an essential. I don't know. Part of the body doesn't mean fingernails or hair, by the way.
Well, when the word that the crucial word here is la'aviv, correct? It's talking about my father. Wouldn't it stand to reason that anything that would obviously a beheading, you would no longer think of this mace as your father, but the other things wouldn't really.
I don't have a good answer to your question.
What was the question?
His question is that parts of the body, like a head missing, that means the person doesn't see his father. A head is like an essential part of body. But if he's missing a toe, it doesn't change the appearance. Right. That's what's bothering Harvey. Honestly, I don't have a good answer for him. Again, he's bothered by the Xeris HaKasa, meaning maybe the Gemara only means Nikta Raitzai.
Oh, why I picked that case?
Yeah. Meaning Nikta Raitzai seems... Head's usually essential to life, usually. Some people live without a head, but...
Don't use their head, living without a brain, living without a head.
Right, exactly.
Just on the side, is it amputation metame, the
limb? Yes, Eivah Menachai is metame, sure.
So Cain cannot be metame with his father's...
No, he cannot.
No, I think what he's asking...
Actually, you're also...
Eivah Menachai has two metames, correct.
Rabbi Margaretin can correct me, but... One does try to reunite the limb with the body at final.
Yeah, what they're supposed to do is, and again, I'm not Pascal Lachalamaita. What I understand from Chevra Kedisha is what they do is they try to bury the limb in a place where they remember where they buried it,
exactly.
And then they exhume it when the person ultimately dies and reunite it in the same grave.
Oh.
But that's what Chevra Kedisha does. However, the Kayan. Mr. Kayan is not allowed to touch that limb or engage in the burial of that limb. Now, I know a case. Again, I know a case firsthand. I know a case, not me, Baruch Hashem, but I know somebody whose father's legs were amputated. And they gave him the legs, the hospital. They said, take care of him. He didn't want them to throw it in the garbage or whatever else they did with it. So he buried it in his backyard. No, are you sure? He buried it in a plastic bag in his backyard. And when his father died, he took him out and gave him to the Chevra Kedisha to put with the rest of the body. That's what the guy did. He could have given it to the Chevra Kedisha, they would have buried it. But then they would have to remember where they did it, and it would be who knows who did it. He took care of it himself. He buried it in his backyard. Nobody knew. What?
Nobody knew?
He knew. His wife knew. He didn't tell anybody. Depends where he put it in a corner of the backyard where, he's not a Kayan, and there's no reason to think a Kayan would come in, you know what I mean?
Put a tombstone on
it. He didn't put a tombstone on it. No, he did not.
What was the time? The story that Rebbe said is true, which I didn't whatever. How long was it between...
I don't remember.
What's the
he put it in the plastic bag that's supposed to save it from decomposing.
Really?
Yeah.
No, it'll decompose.
Yeah.
It'll completely decompose. But it won't become part of the dirt.
Right. Okay. Whatever it is, that's what he did. I didn't follow through. I didn't ask him after his father died what he found it at. I know he told me he did it, and that's what he planned to do.
What I've seen is people have had the limb collected from wherever it is.
Right.
In one case, from Florida, the St. Louis, I don't know, and then buried with it.
So, right. They try to do that. Exactly.
What's the other alternative? Well, Chevra Kedisha, no, sorry. Will the hospital keep the limb?
No. No. They throw it out in the garbage. What do they need it for?
Well, there is a special waste for organic material.
Fine, okay. I'm sorry. They throw it out in organic garbage. I'm sorry if I missed the right word. Fine. They also have a special garbage for their needles and things like that. Right. So they have a special garbage for
that's
their
sharp, that's the sharpest container, no?
Everybody should have a sharp.